Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on a Friday night, a Friday night. It is the John Chukwa Show, hanging out with you here till 11 o'clock. Nick Kale is joining me this evening, 404-741-0929. That is the phone line. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Don't forget, you can catch us on social media. The station is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. That is the best way to be a part of our show. It is at Nick Kale. Don't forget, that is K-A-Y-A-L. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Nick, that is all of your water cooler talking points, 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is producing the show this evening, hanging out behind the glass. Jarvis is in the building, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. So the Falcons, you know, obviously a couple of big free agent signings plus a big trade where they have their starting tight end now after losing Austin Hooper. They have their starting running back now after losing Devontae Freeman. They also have their starting, you know, defensive end, pass rusher, whatever you want to call it, edge player in Dante Fowler. Now you start trying to figure out, okay, how does the draft shape up? And the real question, because we know they got holes in lots of places, the real question I'll ask, Nick, is what positions are off the table, do you think, for the Falcons to draft?
Well, it's two of them, and it's very simple. It's wide receiver and quarterback. I mean, you're not at a point where Matt Ryan now entering, what, year 13, where you feel like you need to address that right now. You could probably address that in the next couple of years.
Right.
Matt's got plenty of weapons, and if he can stay, you know, somewhat standing upright and healthy and not get destroyed behind a porous offensive line, he'll be good to go. The other one I would say is wide receiver. There's no reason to touch a receiver. I can live with whoever receiver three is because I know who one and two are.
Right, right.
And that's about as good as you're going to get.
The quarterback thing, you know, probably depends on if you ask some fans, because there are still plenty of fans that would tell you, we need to draft our next quarterback. You know, even though Matt Ryan's not going anywhere and truthfully still in the prime of his career, and you've got Matt Schaub for this year to back him up. I mean, you know, they have Kirk Benkert, which he's nobody, but they like him and he'll be their practice squad guy. And I truthfully think that had he not have gone down to injury at the very beginning of preseason, that he might have had a shot to actually compete with Matt Schaub for the backup quarterback spot. I think they like him, mm-hmm. and I think they were kind of hoping that this would be the year that maybe he became the backup. So I agree with you. There'll probably be some fans that wouldn't agree with you, but I agree with you as far as that's definitely a position. I'll probably disagree with you about wide receiver just because, and I'm not saying take high capital in it, but no matter what we want to think about Dan Quinn and this, that, and the other, they are a completely offensive-minded team first. That's why you have Matt and Julio and all those guys. I would tell you, truthfully, for this year, I would be less likely to want to go get a running back than I would another wide receiver.
Really?
Yes, because I would tell you it's a jumbled mess at three. I mean, yeah, Russell Gage, but Russell Gage is not a number three wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, he wasn't a number two wide receiver at LSU, let alone be a number three wide receiver in the NFL.
But if you factor in Hurst and Gurley out of the backfield, are we really looking at it like a true number three, or is it a fourth or fifth option?
Well, I mean, look at when they had Sanu and Ridley and, you know, Julio Jones out there, and they had Austin Hooper. I mean, they like their weapons. And I'm not saying you're trying to find Julio's replacement, but at the same time, you know, if Julio goes down, you have no backup plan. And I understand no team would, but if you're telling me at that point we're trying to get to the playoffs with Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage lined up, you're in trouble. I mean, I would be much more inclined in what's a great wide receiver draft to take that third-round pick now and use that on a wide receiver.
Interesting.
That probably, truthfully, for this year can contribute a lot more than if I draft a running back this year.
See, here's where I'm at with the Falcons in these picks. So 16 overall in the first round, 47 overall in the second round, 78th overall in the third round, and then two in the fourth round, 119 and 143. If you want to use 119 or 143, either one of your fourth rounders on a receiver, you're probably not going to get a game changer anyway, but I would be okay with that. But with those first three picks, I need defensive line, I need edge, I need corner, or offensive line. Now, like, see, if they took a receiver in the first three rounds, I would legitimately be like, what are they doing?
My thing has been, they have to go big in the draft. And I think, truthfully, that they need to, I don't care who they've signed thus far, if they really want impact, where they need impact, they still need to think about going up. Now, you're going to hear a lot of people talk about D-Led, talking about Chase Young and things like that.
Oh, please don't tell me you were in that camp.
Oh, I was before
of moving
D-Led
all the way up.
Oh yeah, I was before D-Led.
Oh,
in fact,
no.
I'm the guy who had D-Led on 2 weeks before he wrote that article asking about that, and we had a whole Twitter thing. Because listen, you have to win now mode, and you have the Falcons have such an enormous glaring weakness, like. There, if you have, I'm trying to think, if you have Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback, you have a massive glaring weakness at quarterback. Okay, that's what the Falcons are in their pass rush. And Dante Fowler by himself doesn't solve that. And if you're sitting around saying, well, you know, Tack, and okay, well, what is Tack McKinley? Tack McKinley hasn't been even as good as he was in his rookie year.
I totally agree with you. But the only position I feel personally that you mortgage the future for, and I hate using that phrase, but just throwing away a bunch of picks to climb up for, is a quarterback. To me, if you bring in Chase Young, you're saying he's the missing piece for us to win a Super Bowl right now. And I don't think he is.
Okay,
maybe
two
or three years from now.
I'll tell you, he can be. I mean, look, let me put it this way. You think Nick Bosa had a big impact on San Francisco and them getting to the Super Bowl?
100%.
Okay. Was Bradley Chubb pretty good his rookie year for Denver with 12 sacks as the number three pick? Guys like that can transform your team in a heartbeat. With what we know they have, they've got Gurley and Hurst and all that. So those guys are here.
Yep.
I'll even say it like this. I can understand not going to two, let's say. But why not get to 4 or 5 and either grab me Isaiah Simmons or Derrick Brown to put on this defense? Because if you're telling me that okay, I like C.J. Henderson. He fits what the Falcons want in a tall corner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those guys won't matter if you can't go sack the quarterback. Because you can trot C.J. Henderson and Isaiah Oliver and Kendall Sheffield out there all you want. If you can't sack the quarterback, you want those three guys trying to cover against Tom Brady and Drew Brees and everybody else you're going to see? You'll get pummeled. And in the first half of the year, you saw that. They when their defense couldn't sack the quarterback, those guys, you know, Trufant could hold up, but Oliver and guys like that, those guys can't hold up in this league yet.
Was Bosa a monster? Absolutely. But keep in mind what he had around him, much like what Dante Fowler had around him with the Rams. You know, Bosa had Buckner and Armstead, and he had a ton of talent on that 49er front four.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with Dante Fowler. You know, you had Aaron Donald, you had Brockers and Matthews. How much of what Bosa, and this is not to take anything away from Bosa, but how much of it was, I've got stud after stud next to me. Nobody can double team anybody. Now, if you go for that stud in Chase Young in this draft, is he playing with those caliber of players the Niners have up front here in Atlanta? I would say Grady Jarrett's certainly.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, if three of your four guys along the line, let's say if it was Chase Young, Dante Fowler and Grady Jarrett, that's not the worst looking threesome I could trot out of my four guys along the defensive line. I understand the point, but I think Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa, I think he made a huge impact for the 49ers. I don't think it's a coincidence that their defense took off the way they did because he's a game wrecker. And I don't think it's a coincidence that when his brother got drafted and finally came to play, that their defense became game wreckers. I mean, a guy like that can be. Do I think that's realistic? No, I don't think it's realistic. But if you told me that they moved up to like 4 or 5 to try to get Derrick Brown, or, you know, I'm a big Isaiah Simmons guy.
So
I mean, when you have a guy that's played end and linebacker and safety and can kind of play all over the field, football players are football players, man. I mean, people are getting locked into, well, you know, he's got to be a safety. Well, he's got to be. Okay, I know he's a football player. And if you got a smart coach, he'll find a way to use a guy all over the field like that. I mean, that's the NFL. Give me guys who can run, hit, and cover, and they'll be in the league for a long time. So, and a texter's bringing up about linebacker. I agree. They need linebackers desperately. Right now, your linebackers are Deion Jones, Foye Olakun, and some ham and egger. And that's your linebacker. So I'm with you on that they have to invest capital on it. I'd rather go up, though. If you're telling me you're going to sit at 16 and 47 and all that kind of stuff, I don't think you can get the impact to do what you just said. Let's go get a Super Bowl. I don't think there's anybody there that, unless you just get lucky and hit on the right guy, that changes the fortunes of your franchise, just kind of sitting back and waiting.
Don't you think, though, ultimately, if Thomas Dimitroff were to pull the trigger on a massive deal like that, you know, like similar to what Julio Jones was a decade ago, wouldn't that signal a sign of desperation?
Sure.
I mean,
he
would clearly know that he's got to get this right or it's going to be curtains.
You don't think the owner of the franchise hasn't sat those guys down and said, okay, you've had 2 7-9 seasons and a chance to fix this, and the head coach came out and said, I'm putting my hands on Vic Beasley, and he's either going to love me or hate me, and I'm putting my hands on Tack McKinley. Well, obviously they didn't love you enough to, you know, for Vic Beasley to be around, or for the Falcons to decide about whether or not they want to pick up the fifth-year option on Tack McKinley. So, yeah, I mean, do you have to be a little bit desperate? Yeah, sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures, because here's reality. You only get so many more good years out of Matt Ryan and you know, a Julio Jones. You know, you're rolling the dice with a Todd Gurley. Well, you have those guys, and you bring back Thomas and Dan because, obviously, you got to think that they can win the Super Bowl. What's the point of bringing Thomas and Dan back for one more year, okay? I mean, if they went 9-7 and won the wild card, okay, and then you fired them, what was the point of bringing him back? I mean, you bring them back because you either think they can win the Super Bowl with this guy, and that's why the owner's out. He's a Falcon for life. He'll be the highest paid guy. Well, that's a message. Hey, man, I'll give you Grady Jarrett for the rest of his career, but you got to win.
But let's look at it this way, too. From a draft standpoint, you only have 6 picks, one of which is a 7th-round pick, 228 overall. So let's call it, you have 5 picks.
Right.
You have a 1, a 2, a 3, and 2 4s.
Right.
If you're going to move up for Chase Young, we're talking a 1 this year.
Yeah.
We're and probably talking a 1 next year.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about your 1 and 2. Even if you're talking about getting a 4 or 5, it's going to be your 1 and 2 this year, your 1 next year, and maybe like a 3rd-rounder next year as well.
So for the next 2 years of drafts, then, you're talking a 3rd-rounder and 2 4ths is what you have in the first 3 or 4 rounds of 2 straight drafts. You better be ready to win right away, because unless you've got $60 million in cap space.
But see, this is the thing. They are. That's why you have Matt Ryan. That's why you have Julio Jones. That's why you bring in Todd Gurley. That's why you have Jake Matthews. That's why you have Grady Jarrett. You're supposed to win now. This whole conversation would be completely different, Nick, had they have won the Super Bowl that year.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Because then you're not in that desperation mode to do this.
You're not in desperation. Dan doesn't have to worry about his job. It would be a totally different conversation.
Totally agree.
But reality is, Nick, they didn't win. And so we're still trying to find that trophy. Well, if you can't capitalize now, see, this is what gets frustrating. When you waste seasons of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones in their prime with no chance to even win the Super Bowl because they're not even in the playoffs – yeah, that's not an infinite amount of time that you get with those guys. I get it. Quarterbacks are playing. We got 2 quarterbacks in the division that are 40 years old. Okay, Not everybody's Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Okay, not you know, Matt Hasselbeck played at 40. Okay, I don't want Matt Hasselbeck 40-year-old. You know, if Matt Ryan is Matt Hasselbeck at 40 years old, that's cute, but that ain't winning me a Super Bowl. You know, not everybody's Tom Brady. And by the way, Drew Brees, for all his greatness, they've done nothing in the playoffs except have their heart broken out of it. So, but you keep bringing him back. Why? Because you can't find another guy that gives you a better chance to win the Super Bowl than 40-something-year-old Drew Brees. That's where the Falcons are at. And the Falcons have to look at the landscape of their division and say, wait a second. Even if Tom Brady, you know, for instance, you didn't bring Tom Brady into Tampa Bay to hopefully get to the playoffs. What do you give Tom Brady 2 years and $60 million for? Because they want a trophy. No other reason. You don't do that except I want a trophy. Well, you got two teams in your division that said, I want to be in the Super Bowl or bust. That's where we got to be as well. And if that means desperate, let's get a little desperate. I'm with it. All right, coming up next, we're going to be joined by Radio.com Sports MLB insider John Heyman. Heyman is brought to you by Pennzoil Motor Oils, made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. We'll get his thoughts next as we try to sort out when Major League Baseball is going to start back up. John Chuckery, Nick Cale, hanging out with you on a Friday night. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a John Chuckery show coming to you on a Friday afternoon. Well, we've been trying to figure out when everybody's going to get cranked back up. NFL has been rocking and rolling and having a busy offseason. Major League Baseball kind of putting some storylines out there about when they may come back. Here to help sort all of it out, we go out to the waitfor.com hotline. It is our radio.com sports insider for MLB, John Heyman. He's joining us. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil Motor Oils, made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. You can follow John on Twitter at John Heyman. And of course, he spells John the correct way at J-O-N. John, as always, appreciate it, man. Thanks for jumping on again with us tonight.
Sure. Good to be on with you.
So let's start with the minor league payouts that we saw the story about how minor league players are going to get paid out, I guess, up till, what is it, I think through April 8th or something, you know, like that.
Right.
How has the minor leagues, you know, kind of tying into the major leagues as far as, you know, they're probably even in more danger, aren't they, of how much they're going to lose for a season because they don't obviously play nearly as long. So how do you see kind of the minor league system trying to be handled through all of this?
Well, sure, the minor leaguers are in more economic peril simply because they make far less money. And, you know, every bit helps. The average major league salary is, you know, over $4 million at this point. So not every major leaguer makes that kind of money and more, but, you know, obviously the minimum salary is about $560,000. So minor leaguers were hurting. MLB answered the call and is going to pay them at least through April 8th. We will see after that. At least they're getting paid right now without playing. And you know, that's up to Major League Baseball. It's really a unilateral decision. Internal decision. There was no real consultation with the union, or at least the union had no power on it. That's going to be different than the Major League Baseball players. There's a negotiation going on in terms of how Major League Baseball is going to handle that situation. That's far more money involved in that. But MLB did the right thing to take care of the minor leaguers, at least for a few weeks. And also, which I think was even greater, which is to take care of all the stadium workers for a while as well.
John, give me your insight on this. There was a report, I want to say it was toward the fall of last year, maybe after the season, that Major League Baseball was proposing by cutting as much as 25% of minor league organizations because of, you know, facilities that weren't up to speed or modernized or things like that. Has there been any more chatter about that? And, you know, is a stoppage like this cause, you know, for even more concern about this may give, you know, clubs a more of a reason to want to just say, okay, let's just shut down some of these facilities that we have?
Yeah, right now I think there's just bigger fish to fry in terms of figuring out exactly what's going on. Basically, we have to renegotiate the CBA for the year and figure out how players are going to be paid. That is, I don't think it's going to be as difficult as the service time issue, which is going to be very, very difficult with games likely missed. And, you know, we don't expect this to happen, but if a year is likely missed, that could be a real tough one for the negotiation. So, I don't want to see the minor league cities lose their teams. I don't love that. I think it's part of a negotiation. I think MLB saw that many of the minor league owners are making huge profits and in some cases, keeping up the facilities. And, they're trying a negotiation. I don't actually think that this is a likely outcome anyway. But for now, all that, I believe, is on hold while we figure out when the season's going to start and how to handle that in terms of the major league compensation.
Radio.com Sports MLB Insider John Heyman joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. I was reading through some of your tweets talking about how Major League Baseball may have like about a 3-week spring training. They may expand rosters, allow more pitchers, kind of give fans kind of just what's your kind of hearing timeline about all that, put in a little bit better detail than what I just did.
Yeah, the timeline is the big question. Obviously, they delayed the opening day from March 26th to April 9th at the beginning, and now it became clear April 9th is not going to be a date they're going to be able to start regular games on. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, has announced that already. Once the CDC said it's an 8-week delay basically to everything, MLB took that to heart, and I think late May is the goal. So that's probably the best-case scenario. That they start sometime around June 1st or a little before. But right now, all bets are off. We don't know when things are starting. I don't think anyone really can predict it. Both sides want to get in as many games, both sides being the players and Major League Baseball owners, want to get in as many games as possible. They'll consider things like midweek doubleheaders and playing on scheduled off days and playing into November, to try to get in as many games as possible. But whether that's going to be 100 games or 144 games, nobody can really predict now. I'd like to see it. They certainly want to make sure that we have playoffs in a World Series. That's where a lot of the TV revenue comes in nationally. I'd like to see at least play a half a season, regular season, 80 games, 81 games. But right now, nobody knows anything for sure. I think we are pretty hopeful that there'll be some sort of season, but as I said, best case is May 26th or 25th, and that's, I think that we'd be all be thrilled if that were the case.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chukri Show. We're out on the WadeFord.com hotline. It's our Radio.com Sports MLB Insider John Heyman joining us here. I talked to Ben Davis about a week or two ago, former major leaguer, and his point was that he thinks that the Major League Baseball Players Union will not be willing to give up very many of their off days, the negotiated off days and things like that. Are you kind of hearing the same thing? Do you think that there could be some sticking point about, I understand that the owners may want to play a bunch of games, but, that's going to have to be negotiated with the players as far as them giving up some of their off days?
Yeah, at this point, I think that's probably small potatoes. I think the big issue is going to be how to work out that service time and figure out if there's let's say there's no season played, and I think they're delaying their negotiation because they're hopeful there's a season going to be played and they have some idea of when it starts. If there's no season played, do the players get a full year of service time or no service time? As one agent told me, that it's hundreds of millions of dollars difference. That's the bigger issue. I do think Tony Clark has been very cognizant of atmosphere and comfort for the players in the past. At this point, I think maybe they'd be comforted a little bit if you expanded the rosters and didn't have the off days. If you have a roster of 30 or more, guys will get off days as you go and not have off days completely. Like, they'll have games every day, but have a bigger roster so that they'll get more rest in that way. I think the union probably wouldn't mind that. They'd have more players on the major league rosters, and I think MLB wants to get in as many games as possible, and certainly the players do too. So I would tend to look the other way and say that they're going to try to squeeze in as many games as they can.
John, what do you think as far as trying to get pitchers, you know, up to speed. I mean, basically there's been a complete interruption where guys were starting to get kind of ramped up and now they're going to completely stop and, you know, go cold. I know they can do some things, but it's not the same as simulating in games and building up that game arm strength. So how much of a concern is there that especially pitcher quality of play early on in some of these games?
Yeah, absolutely. That's another reason they could use a roster expansion and 15, 16 pitchers per roster, because you're not going to have a full spring training. You know, I've heard talk of 3 weeks, but I've heard other talk of even racing it ahead a little bit further beyond that, and just to make sure you get in as many games as you can. And if that means that the starting pitchers only are able to go four innings or so, so be it. If you've got a staff of 16 pitchers, you might be able to handle that without pitchers going six, seven, eight innings. But I think that they just won't be time to build up the pitchers because they're not going to do a 6 week spring training. I've heard talk of three, and I've heard talk of even less than three. And if it's less than three, you're going to have to start with games with four innings for the pitchers, and just have a lot of relievers. So a lot of bullpenning may be going on.
John, talk to us a little bit about Chris Sale. We hear that he's going to have the Tommy John surgery. I mean, you know, in a season where we don't know how much is, you know, going to be had anyway, it seems like, you know, there's never a good time for Tommy John surgery, but this would be the time to get it done, get it out of the way, get rehab, so that when baseball really does come back and it's most likely fully into next year, you've got a guy that can be ready to go.
Right, and I think the Red Sox didn't anticipate this was going to be their year anyway. I know that's an odd way to look at it, but they traded Mookie Betts, so I'm assuming they don't think they're a pennant contender. I think we're going to have a year, so he's going to miss something, but we don't know that for sure. But he certainly gave it a try and has been frustrated all throughout spring training and tried to throw it recently. It didn't work out, and needs that Tommy John surgery. And, you know, he needs to probably do it, you know, we need to get all surgeries done soon before the hospitals really fill up with, you know, really, really important stuff. But I think that they made the right decision because it wasn't working.
John, last thing for you with just under a minute to go. Would Major League Baseball and the players, do you think, be willing to push postseason baseball back even further, if that means neutral sites, you know, inside domes, warmer weather cities? I mean, do you think that's a realistic option when we talk about trying to find as many games as possible?
Yeah, I think that's probably almost a likelihood at this point that we're going to be playing into November. And, you know, I like what you're talking about on warm weather and the domes, but there might be just some baseball played in a little bit colder weather, too. If you're playing in November, there aren't enough domes and the warm weather cities. You know, they never solved that problem in April. We still have games in Boston and Minnesota in April, and so we may have them in November as well. But as I said, the goal is for both players and owners is to play as many games as possible. Of course, we don't know when the start date is going to be, and I'll repeat again, the hope, and this is a hope at this point, nothing more, is that late May is the start date for the Major League Baseball season.
Follow him on Twitter. It's at John Heyman. You join us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. He's our Radio.com Sports MLB Insider, John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil's made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Make sure to check out John on his podcast, too. Big Time Baseball, find it on the Radio.com app or wherever you get your podcast. John, as always, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks for keeping us informed here, and look forward to talking to you about maybe some real on-field baseball, maybe sooner rather than later.
Absolutely, John. Thank you very much.
You got it. John Chukwu here. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. This is the John Chukwu Show, hanging out with you here on a Friday night to 11 o'clock. Nick Cale is joining me this evening. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Don't forget the Radio.com app. Download that, Nick, on whatever device that you have. You got a phone or a tablet or your smart speakers, your boombox, your turntable, your Walkman, your 8-track player, whatever you got available, download it on that. That way you catch us on the go. Social media is all at 929 The Game. He is at Nick Cale. That is K-A-Y-A-L on Twitter. I am at JMCH316 on Twitter. Jarvis is producing the show tonight at Jarvis D90. By the way, Nick, we're watching SmackDown. You know, this whole WrestleMania thing that they're going to do, and reading now, it sounds like the entire WrestleMania show may be pre-taped now. I was just reading some things online that said, yeah, now they're strongly considering just pre-taping the entire WrestleMania show. This is, I mean, it was cute the first time they did this. Mm-hmm. This is legitimately getting like, okay, like...
Oh, it's totally awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, what was it, Monday night I was watching Raw and Edge is cutting a promo in the ring and there's just no crowd. And mm-hmm. I've kind of soured on WWE lately with just the direction.
Don't worry, they've given you plenty of reasons to sour on them.
But my God, was it bizarre.
How about the fact that they only had one match on Monday night in a three-hour show?
You know, I noticed that.
Uh-huh.
Because
the only live match
out.
They had was Andrade and Rey Mysterio.
After Edge cut his promo, yeah. I went somewhere else, came back, and I was watching the Royal Rumble.
They replayed the entire men's Royal Rumble.
Jesus.
Which, you know, is obviously over an hour long nowadays. And they only had because they had that. Obviously, they had the Stone Cold segment at the end, which was really awkward. The sad part about the Stone Cold Steve Austin segment was all the best stuff was the after show stuff, the off-air mm-hmm. stuff, where Becky comes out and they're drinking together and she brings a cooler out. The Street Profits, who are the lamest tag team in all of wrestling right now.
Oh, so you don't like the We God. Want the Smoke and the Red Solo Cups?
They are so lame. I got arguments on Twitter with people because they are trying so hard to be the poor man's No Day.
Mm-hmm.
Like they you can tell they want them to be on Raw what New Day is on SmackDown. And I love New Day. I think Kofi Kingston's run as champ was fantastic. That mm-hmm. they got that right. Like not only giving him the title and giving him that WrestleMania moment, but the matches leading up to it and his run, I thought it was fantastic. That Street Profits, they're dreadful. And that was the best part was Austin giving him stunners. And that again, that's a complete knockoff to was it WrestleMania 32
New Orleans, right?
What was the WrestleMania that was in Jerry's World?
33?
Okay, so whatever WrestleMania was in Jerry's World, that's the one where what was the name of those guys? The League of Nations, Rusev, Sheamus.
And Cesaro.
Cesaro,
right?
Yeah. And who? There was it 32? Okay. That's where they beat the New Day in a match, and then they say that there's no three guys that could take them on. And Shawn Michaels, Mankind, and Austin come down. And, you know, of course, they beat him up, give him stunners and super kicks and everything like that. But then the New Day comes in and starts dancing with those guys and drinking beer with those guys. And what's his name? Xavier Woods starts dancing with Stone Cold, and Stone Cold starts dancing. And, like, Xavier
did he have the trumpet?
He just was kind of like moving. And then Xavier's like, yeah, this is great. Kick to the stomach, stunner for Xavier Woods. So it was a complete ripoff as to what he had done to the New Day. And I argue with people that they're like, it's a totally different gimmick. No, it's not. It's meant to be the same. Mm-hmm. Just because they don't throw pancakes doesn't mean that the Street Profits aren't trying to be the same gimmick as the New Day.
Safe to say they've ran out of ideas.
Oh, they have.
The creative and the writing is so bad.
That's because the old man can't figure it out. That's because Vince, I mean, just he can't let what's good. Yeah, remember they came out a couple years ago, oh, we're going to do what the fans want. Then why would you squash Bray Wyatt in Saudi Arabia? Why would you take your hottest mm-hmm. act? I don't think people understand. He overtook Becky Lynch as the number one merchandise seller in the company. Like, I mean, I was hearing Eric Bischoff say his merchandise was flying out of their stores. You couldn't make enough of it. He's the hottest thing going. He's become really the most popular guy that they have. You know, outside of Becky Lynch, he's the most popular wrestler that they have out there because it's a great character. They love Bray Wyatt, mm-hmm. and the gimmick is cool.
Well, and they finally got it right, too.
Yes.
Because they took him off of television for so long, and I'm thinking, boy, when he does come back, they better get it right and not screw it up because he was good to begin with.
Absolutely. The problem was that they would always kill his character. Every WrestleMania, he got beat.
Mm-hmm.
He got beat by Daniel Bryan. He got beat by The Rock. I mean, he was always getting beat at WrestleMania. And his character just never could finally get over. This thing was great, and you're thinking, okay, Roman and Bray Wyatt at the Fiend at WrestleMania, that's good stuff. I'm in. You know, I'm in for all of that. Nah, let's squash him, and we'll put him against Cena. And I'm like, that match means nothing now. Like that match means nothing. But it's because I'm telling you, you'll never not convince me of this. Vince realized if I stick Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, and Roman together, they'll boo Roman. Yeah. And he so wants Roman Reigns to be that super face of the company.
Because he's so stuck in the whole, you got to be 6'4", 6'5", 275, chiseled out of stone. I want a guy that can entertain, and I want a guy that's good on the mic and can cut a promo and not be a dud like Roman Reigns. Like, remember back, was it two summers ago when Cena came back and they had that little face-off with the promo, and Cena was like, I can do this part-time better than you can do it full-time?
Right.
Unbelievably good.
Yeah, that people are like, oh my God, that's the next pipe bomb promo. It's the truth. I mean, and the Firefly Funhouse stuff is the one that, they brought Hogan. Hogan was supposed to be on Raw, whatever, and it turned out he was in his, memorabilia store.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, that backfired too, because the idea was, okay, we'll take Hulk Hogan and everybody will love him and boo the Fiend, because they really want this Fiend thing to be like this nasty heel, and they'll boo him. Well, he comes out and does the brought to you by the FFO or whatever, or FFH, and he brings the belt out strong. God, it was fantastic. Like, I was like, hell, this hasn't been this much fun since the NWO really did it the right way. And everybody, like what Vincent said, everybody's tired of Hogan. Like, I would love to see Hulk Hogan go in the ring and the Fiend put the mandible claw and waste him in the middle. Mm-hmm. People would cheer like crazy because they don't like Hulk Hogan anymore. So they can't figure out to take their best stars and just let it run, roll with it.
You're a big wrestling guy. Let me give you a hot take for WrestleMania. And obviously, why it's being changed around, it's serious. We get it, coronavirus, all that aside. I just wish they would cancel it, because other than Orton and Edge, I have zero interest in Reigns versus Goldberg, The Undertaker against Styles. It's almost like their blueprint was, let's go with a guy who's 15 years out of his prime against a guy in his prime, and that'll be the theme of WrestleMania.
But you know what's sad, though? You know why that is? Look at the pop that Edge gets at Royal Rumble.
It was great.
And Royal Rumble's a little different, because that's always the, hey, come back and make
a cameo.
But look at the pops that Edge gets. Look at the pops even Randy Orton gets right now. Look at the pops that listen, I will tell you this, though. That angle they did with AJ Styles, was it this past – no, a couple of Mondays ago in Philadelphia, your town of – dude, that was – and I knew he was coming out for that. That was magnificent. That's – you want – that – when they turn off those lights and that gong hit, that crowd – and Philly's a great wrestling crowd.
Oh, yeah.
That crowd went berserk, and that was, and he's over there choking those two, and AJ's jumping over the rope, and you kept perfect. Like, and the sad part is, they don't have anybody who can do it. Even at 90 years old, The Undertaker knows how to do it better than all those guys do.
You got to be able to cut that promo. You got to be able to sell the storyline and make it this soap opera type feel. You know, nothing against some of these new guys and these young guns, the Aleister Blacks of the world, but if I see another gothic-looking individual with his whole body tattooed up that is about as entertaining as a rice cake on a microphone, I'll just put on AEW and I'll watch Jericho cut a great promo at 48 years old or however old he is.
AEW is fabulous to watch now. Yeah. It feels old school. You know, it's got that look and feel of the old WCW. They're doing a great job of introducing new I don't know about you. I love Orange Cassidy's character. I love that. That's brilliant. Then people are like, oh, well, man, it's stupid. He doesn't. It's such a great gimmick. That's the whole point of it. That match that he had, what was it, a couple weeks ago that they had their pay-per-view, that match that he had was fantastic. He's over there wrestling around with his hands in his pocket, flipping and kicking. It was fantastic. And I'm like, this is and the moment of the year in wrestling is when he puts the sunglasses on Tony Schiavone and he gives him the half thumbs up. That was fantastic. Like, that's entertaining for people. Not watching, they only have these old guys that they trot out there. The new guys don't know how to work with those guys. I mean, AJ Styles is perfect in the role of let him go get beat by the old guys, whether it's Austin because he gets it. He knows how to do it. The rest of those guys, I mean, Roman Reigns? Like, how are you going to have Roman Reigns and Bill Goldberg have a compelling WrestleMania match?
So we're going to see a spear, and then a spear, and then a jackhammer, and then another spear. Yeah. It'll go about 9 minutes, because that's all Goldberg can do.
Do you remember, Jarvis, you may have to look this up, WrestleMania 21 or 22?
HBK and...
No, Goldberg Hogan? And Lesnar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, with Austin as the referee? That was dreadful. The only good part about that match, and I love Goldberg, and I love Brock Lesnar. The only good part about that match, honestly, what's the, you know, the only thing that got the crowd to pop? Austin stunning both of those guys.
Yeah.
When Goldberg wins, he gets a stunner. Brock Lesnar gets up, he gets a, that's the only thing that made the crowd pop. That match was dreadful. How do you think that Goldberg and Roman Reigns in 2020 can even put on that good of a match?
It's just another reason why I was so livid when I actually watched the event in Saudi Arabia and he squashes Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that pay-per-view
was... You just built him up for 6 months.
That pay-per-view was dreadful. Like, that was a dreadful pay-per-view. I love the Undertaker thing, but the rest of that pay-per-view, that was... Ugh.
You think the NBA and Major League Baseball need to scale back their seasons? I think wrestling should scale back the pay-per-views to every 8 weeks.
They'll never do it, but... Yeah, it's like, listen, Raw's an hour and a half too long right now.
Yep.
There's not a chance that they'll drop that thing down even to 2 hours long. That was kind of a What's Bugging Chuckery without a What's Bugging Chuckery. I kind of liked it when we sidebar. All right, Falcon Flyover coming up next. Arthur Blank's Foundation gets a big donation and more grades from Bill Barnwell. He's not real happy with the Falcons. We'll get to that next in the Falcon Flyover. John Chuckery, Nick Cale in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 910 The Game and the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.